Hello.
Welcome back to Old Millennials, a deep dive on shallow topics from the late 90s and 2000s. I am one of your hosts, Emily Bajin.
And I am your other host, Margot Poupard.
Well, it's been a long summer, but a fun one. Sometimes it's been a little weird even. We've had relationships just show up like waves of cicadas every 17 years with, are we calling them Gengifer now, I believe?
Is that what we're going with? I almost sent this link to you, but I'm glad I forgot. So now I can tell you in real time. Did you see, I think it was like a Page Six tweet that Ben was at Tiffany's looking at engagement rings with his son and his mom recently?
No.
It's happening. It's all happening. Dreams.
Oh my God. When you really believe in dreams. It's a love story, baby. Just say yes.
Ugh. I'm so happy.
Oh my God.
It's like all getting engaged. Do you think he'll do it at Dunkies?
I hope so. One can only hope he gets down on one knee with his coffee in one hand, ring in the other.
And Amazon packages nearby.
I just want them to get married at Fenway Park, Neil Diamond sings Sweet Caroline. Like, I want them to have a Goodwill Hunting themed wedding is what I'm advocating for right now.
I don't think she would go for that.
No, but she's Jenny from the Bronx. So no.
Right. But this is a wonderful sketch premise, though.
A-Rod would be so fucking pissed if they had a Red Sox themed wedding.
Oh my God, that man needs to get a grip. But anyway, I'm so glad I saved it accidentally to reveal to you here now.
Thank you for giving me this gift. I appreciate that. And I take it in with happiness and joy. But on to less exciting things and more kind of mundane with a sprinkle of drama every once in a while, because that's how this show always works. We want to get into some of the updates around reality TV this summer. We've been watching a lot, particularly the Bachelor franchise in The Hills, New Beginnings. And as always, we have our thoughts on The Hills, New Beginnings, particularly a fun Tahoe trip that took two episodes.
Fun?
Not so fun. I mean, if you count murder mystery with people who can barely show emotion as fun, then I guess that's fun.
That was actually kind of funny. And I understand it's COVID. We got to find these things to do inside. Sure. But this is the third reality show I have seen that filmed during COVID that decided that a murder mystery with a bunch of improvisers who do not make enough to have the sort of to be out here like this in a pandemic, like they fully don't have insurance. This is the third one. And they're barely fun when you're doing them. And they're definitely not fun when you're watching it. The only time that it's ever been good was that episode of Real Houses of New York in the Berkshires. But Shaw's the Sunset did it and Real Houses of Atlanta did it. And obviously, the only thing you remember from Atlanta this season is Bolo. So who gives a shit about a fucking murder mystery?
Here's the deal. It's not that I'm against the murder mystery party so much as I'm against it, once having to watch it, like you said. But two, also having people who, again, we're not against Botox on this show, but when you've gotten so many facelifts and Botox that you don't show emotion, having a murder mystery party just makes everyone seem like they could be guilty or innocent at the same time. Like, there's just no way around it. It's very hard to tell who did what. In fact, maybe that's the best thing, is that anyone can hide being a murderer because they don't show emotion.
It's like between the Botox and the low energy, it was very difficult to understand what's stakes even were. Yeah. And then like if they had ever made like a breakthrough, that was never entirely clear.
No.
It was more like a pretty straight line instead of it kind of having peaks and valleys in terms of like following the fuck was going on, because I don't even know if there was like a theme of the season. It's like it felt like everybody was on their own separate show, and that only became more apparent like in that finale that I had to rewatch because I had completely forgotten what was going on. So we have Brandon and the girl we knew he was never going to last with. And him being devastated by that, that's like its own plot. But like she's sort of disconnected from the story, except that time that she freaks out at that Halloween party, which was really funny because she was just like, I don't want to be around other girls, you fuck. I'm like, well, You know, I'm sure that's what like a lot of us want, but we can't always get what we want. She like took it so personally. And like, I just feel like it's like, oh, sweetie, you're not important enough to hate. Like no one even realizes that you're here. That's the reason why there's this oversight happening.
No. And I will say this about Brandon Lee. As the season progressed, I don't know about you, but to me, he started to look more and more like Polly Walnuts with the tracksuits and the hair. And I fully expected to see some silver stripes by the end of the season.
He's unfortunately too young for that. But I mean, if he has any sense, he'll just start painting them in himself. I mean, did we talk about his big movie premiere that was like on a rooftop? It was like the saddest thing you've ever seen.
And
she couldn't even be bothered to look up from her phone. I howled. I was just like, yeah, girl, me fucking either. Like, yes, I am on Instagram for the umpteenth time while trying to watch the show. I mean, it is, to The Hills' credit, perfect background noise.
Oh, sure.
But anyway, so we got Brandon on his own island with his like weird love story that like, you know, you can kind of see the writings on the wall.
Yes.
Then we have like Heidi v. Ashley.
Oh my God.
Really, it's just Heidi projecting onto Ashley because Heidi desperately wants to have another baby and isn't happening for her because she's
Heidi,
like
Heidi
insanely uptight. And then Ashley is pregnant and, you know, she's not supposed to have everything. Like it's supposed to be Heidi's. And so they have this like strange fragmented argument about who's pregnant and who's not, but it's not really about that.
No, there's a lot of projecting, and I feel like there were moments where it's just like, oh, great editing. Like I have to say, like, give an Emmy to the person who decided to splice in the part in the Tahoe episode where Ashley is talking about her father's death.
Transition. You're just like, so dude, what abrupt. The fuck?
Like, you are escalating drama here that already doesn't, you know, there's already existing drama. We don't have to include this. This was too much. Also, I like that immediately Audrina thought that her dad had died of cancer and like went to that. He died of cancer, right? It's like, no, freak dirt bike ride accident, which
her dad have like a heart attack like on the bike that? Which is like attack. Even more wild and sad.
Yes. Like it was awful. And I was just, it is hard after watching the show when they do try to have these scenes that are really sad. Like, Ashley,
and emotional, but also emotional. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Where she, you know, she's visiting her, her dad's grave, and she brings up that her daughter speaks 5 languages, which I question, but I don't want to take away from this.
Leave language. The child
I
out
know,
of it.
I know.
Let the little mom lie to her dead dad. Okay. I think we can all just, there's so little joy in the world. Just like let her fucking have this. Like I actually teared up. I thought it was really sweet. She's like, I wish you could see her. She's grown. It was like very sad.
It was very sad.
I applaud Ashley for always trying to kind of bring it, like, no matter what. Like, for somebody who hasn't been on this show the entire time, unlike her husband or Heidi or Audrina or whatever, I think that she does bring a lot of interesting perspective, and I think that she does try to, like, open up. And maybe it's because she tries so hard, sometimes some of her scenes fall flat. But I honestly blame the show on a certain level. What is the show? Who is the show about? Like, is it about the Pratts? Is it centered around them? Because obviously The Hills worked because it was about LC. It wasn't like necessarily on an ensemble. Like Whitney and Audrina were always sort of like B to C list supporting characters that maybe got, unless they were with LC, collectively 5 minutes of screen time an episode.
Yes.
So who the fuck is the show about? Is it about Jason and Ashley? Exactly. Is it about Audrina? Is it about Brody? Like, why the fuck is Caitlin still here?
I don't know.
Why the fuck does she owe her piece of shit ex-husband any sort of explanation about what's going on in her current romantic life, including her fucking pregnancy?
I could not believe. I was beside myself.
Emily, the one note I did take is like, of course Brody makes her fucking pregnancy all about him, even though it's not even his baby. It's like, dude, could you go fuck yourself right now? Are you insane? If I had to run by what I do in my life to any of my exes, I would just go out into traffic and get hit by a fucking bus. Are you out of your fucking mind? Why does this woman owe him anything? He fucked her over and then like kind of slut-shamed her for like dating Miley Cyrus. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, you're the biggest slut on this show. What are we talking about?
worse. And I have to say this about Brody, like, no matter who he is with, who he's dealing with throughout this, these last episodes that we watched, what a piece of shit. Like, even talking in regards to his, like, budding romance with Audrina, like, that fucking Tahoe episode part one, it felt like I was watching the Summer Nights part of Grease, where it was like, did she put up a fight? Like, because there's this, like, he's like, you know, we got together and blah, blah, blah. He's like, wait, talking up this fucking game at this dinner. And then, like, meanwhile, she's just like, well, we kissed a little. Like, you know, she's probably, I would trust Audrina more in this scenario, obviously.
Right, right.
And they probably, you know, maybe fooled around a little bit. But ultimately, like, he's trying to make it out to be something way bigger than it actually was. And it's like fucking Danny Zuko up in there in Tahoe style. Like, I could not get over it.
Well, he's definitely not a reliable narrator whatsoever.
No.
But he's honestly just, I mean, as somebody who loved Fuckboy Island on HBO Max. This is not an HBO Max podcast. Brody should have fully gone to that fucking island for sure.
Yep.
Because he's such a fuckboy. He totally fucks with Audrina. Like, they have these moments in Tahoe, right? And then they come back from that trip and then they have that big group dinner. And he brings two fucking 22-year-olds
rub
it in her face over what? Because she didn't have sex with you? Like, what is the problem?
No.
What is your deal? And then even the way that they end the show, because this episode is semi-fresh in my mind, the way that they end the show, he's like, oh, yeah, like, maybe, like, let's leave the door open. And she's like, I'm a mom. That's my priority. And if you can't fucking get on that same page, then I don't need to be doing this. Like, she finally wises up. But I feel like he leads her on kind of the whole time doing this one man will they, won't they. And it's super fucking annoying.
And I feel like it's interesting because this whole season, there was a lot of Goldilocks where Audrina's the Goldilocks. And like, we've got, you know, Papa Bear with whatever Stewart.
I was like,
Rod Stewart's son.
I almost called him Rob Schneider.
Rod Stewart's son. Who's just like, you know, looks like he's 65 and it's just, you know, he gives good picnic, but like other than
that. We just continue to age him exponentially as if he is sent to that beach that makes you fucking old.
And then our mama bear being, which I don't like to call Brody a mama bear, but I just mean it in this metaphor, so bear with me, where it's complete fuckboy, one man fuckboy island show. She needs something in between is what I've gotten out
right.
of this.
She needs not a grandpa with too much filler. And she doesn't need a aging fuckboy who refuses to accept where he is in life. Or he doesn't understand why people get upset. Well, he still hasn't learned anything.
Yeah.
He's just, I guess, an aging fuckboy. Maybe he is the Danny Zuko. He is the Fonzarelli minus the sense of humor. Because I think that Brody is kind of humorless, but he's worse because he thinks he's funny or
that's
like has a
exactly
sense of humor.
It. That's
but
exactly
anytime
it.
You try to call him on anything, he just gets so like that's
oh
that fucking
God.
White fragility. You're like, relax, like take a note and take a breath.
We got to get into, of course, the person who I think experienced, you know, so much what we lightly call growth on this episode. And I'm thinking of that gif of like Natasha Rothwell in Insecure, you know, doing the like hand gesture.
You know what that is? That's growth.
That's growth. Justin Bobby.
Dude, what the fuck? If you would have told me when I was first watching this show that eventually I'd be like, I like Justin Bobby.
Yeah.
I would have called you a fucking liar. But by the last episode, he's so usually this sort of like hippie zen shit like rubs me the wrong way for obvious reasons about my personality. But I really like bought into like his inner peace and like he really has had true growth where he's like, maybe I don't want to like disappear on people. Maybe it's cool to have a family. And you actually buy it. Unlike Brody, he's like, what can I say to get you to shut the fuck up so we can have sex? Like that's, and I don't get that vibe from Justin Bobby. Even just him spending time with his dad, I thought was very interesting. And we really learned a lot about him.
We learned
so much.
He got
fucking shot by a goddamn gang.
Yeah.
And that the reason why he is so nomadic is that like surfing and doing all of these things that make him feel quote unquote free is sort of how he like came back from all of his childhood struggles.
I mean, he dealt with instability. He didn't have like a stable home. So of course he's going to adopt this like nomadic personality and lifestyle. But yeah, I think you're right. Like apart from what we talked about before we started recording, which I'm curious if the Cherokee, the claim to the Cherokee heritage is actually real. I'd like to send Justin Bobby a 23andMe kit just to confirm.
Right. But let's get some sort of like forensic ancestor person who can kind of map out like a, what was that show that exposed, speaking of Ben Affleck is having slave owner ancestors?
Yeah. Oh God. What is it called? Find My Roots. Yep. With Dr. Henry Louis Gates.
Yeah. Let's get that person on the horn with Justin Bobby. But I think it's wild that we have so much like empathy and willing to give so much credit to a man who has the word justice tattooed on the front of his neck. Like every time I see him, I'm like, everything about the way that you look makes me want to be like, this dude fucking sucks. But then you start talking and you seem like a reasonable, nice, calm, even keeled person. And who doesn't want to kind of be around that?
Yeah, 100% agree. I also think what was interesting, is when he's the most out of all this, the growth is experienced. He seems pretty even keel. Brandon Lee always feels like he is probably the most mature out of everyone in the group, despite being 25. And then we got to talk about Spencer and Heidi, Spencer towards, much like I thought, you know, Brandon Lee was looking like Polly Walnuts towards the end. I think Spencer's jacket choices combined with the large crystal necklaces was starting to give me like a SoCal Andrew Dice Clay vibe, you know, like it was like a like these jackets are wild. And then of course, like the crystals are huge. Like there's just something about it where he's looking like the Dice Man.
He honestly dresses like a weed dealer my husband used to go to in the desert. Like he dresses like this guy named MILF. Like it's like insane to me. All he's missing, and I'm sure he's not missing these at all, are like a bunch of like World War II rifles and shit like that or whatever. Like he collected old guns. He's like, you want to shoot guns? I'm like, no, I don't want to shoot guns with a fucking weed dealer. I want to go home and smoke weed.
Oh my God.
He dresses like that dude. And it truly makes me laugh. I mean, the most illuminating thing about Heidi and Spencer is that Spencer has not learned one single thing about losing all of his fucking money. But I do applaud Heidi for being able to recognize a problem, address it, and actually make the change. I mean, the fact that he eats like 9 burritos a day is insane.
That's insane. No one should ever eat that amount of food. I also do appreciate that we got some resolution at the end of the season between Ashley and Heidi. And they decided, like you said, addressed, like they had a discussion, they talked. And I think what had been drama ultimately was, like you said, just a projection. But it's like, it's nice to see women on this show resolve things, because for so many, there's so many times in the original Hills where I think things were just left unresolved. And that's probably the difference of having a bunch of 20 somethings on a show versus a bunch of 30 somethings. But
well, that was like such a huge theme as well, of like even Justin Bobby being like, coming into like my later 30s and having these realizations. And that's sort of like something all of them kind of echo throughout the show, but obviously mostly in the finale, because obviously they are and they have different priorities now. Yeah. But I found that to be kind of fascinating that they were calling it out the way that even like Jason, when him and Ashley and Heidi and Spencer were sort of hashing it out towards the end, basically says like, hey, it's sort of like the most fourth wall breaking that we're going to get is just like, we've been on this show for 15 years. There's no reason why we can't just like move on and get over things so that we can at least be in the same room together and we're not all sitting separately. So I do appreciate that they recognize that like, whatever, we're fucking coworkers. Like, yes, part of our job is to generate drama, but in the end, we all need to come back to work because this is our job. And so let's just like not hang on to shit and then come up with new shit next season. And I appreciate it. But I think we both agree, though, that it needs to pick who the show is going to be about and then kind of like build from there, because it's had this sort of wandering vibe where we just like pick up strays along the way. Like, no offense to Pizza Girl, but like, what did she even do? She like confessed a crush to Caitlin, then took it back, and then ended up with some guy. And you're like, okay. And
that then was had useless.
This like, yes, this brief, I don't know, a brief issue with her father and getting his approval. But it's never really like, I mean, this is the show's whole problem. And maybe this is LA's whole problem, is that it's all very surfacey. And so you're all just like, it's an issue. There are no stakes. So there's an issue. And then it's like, it's resolved or it's sort of like forgotten about. And then we all move on to the next thing. And it's like, well, then why the fuck are you here if it didn't escalate or have some sort of, I don't know, greater weight to the rest of the show, or at least literally one other cast member, like something?
Agreed. I think the other thing that, you know, this episode set us up for, and I don't know if they've confirmed there'll be another season, is I feel like it set us up for if the show ends after this season, it's done. And like it feels like there was some level of resolution, especially I think with the breaking of the fourth wall, like you were saying. But I also feel like, I just don't really know unless they pick someone an angle or they introduce like Kristen as a permanent character or a permanent person on the show who like, I really was hoping to see more of her apart from, you know, the little hangout and the beach hangout. Like I was really thinking she could have injected some energy into this because otherwise it feels fairly resolved if we don't pick a person to follow around next season.
Well, it's funny that you say it feels resolved because at the end of the episode, the first time I watched it, I was like, wait, is that the finale? Because it didn't say anything in the description. Yeah. Every episode sort of ends like this in some ways, even when they try to do a fucking cliffhanger. And so it really didn't feel resolved. It sort of felt confusing, which is sort of the show's whole thing. Like, what is it about? What are we talking about? Like, what's important? How many episodes? Like, what's going on? Yeah. Who has beef? Because everybody's also siloed. I mean, I think some of it is COVID, but also some of it is like this cast also isn't like cohesive. There are so many questions like why some of these people would still fucking be around. Like I do buy that Brandon would still be friends with Brody.
Yes.
They kind of have they seem it's like looking in a mirror kind of thing. I even buy Frankie fucking being there. But I don't why the fuck is Kristen still here? Like I don't understand. Caitlin, shit. What the fuck? Or like, why is Caitlin still here?
Caitlin's still there. And honestly, like, Jason and Ashley, for that matter. Like, I think they're great. And I think that they are two people who seem to be very happy with one another. Jason is sobered up. They seem to be living their life as a little family. And I honestly think, like, there's no reason for them to be there. And it's no disrespect to them. I actually think it's really nice to see a stable couple on the show. But I think that there's just like no point in them being there because at this point, any tie that Jason had to the show is gone. Like he went to high school with none of the people on the show anymore. And like, I guess he knew everyone through like meeting them through LC, but still like the connections aren't there. Kristen's not on the show anymore. Like there's nothing there for them to do. And I feel like if they did not come back, I wouldn't hate it, even though I like them in general, if that makes sense.
Right. But it feels like then try to do something new and don't have it under this title of like the Hills or whatever. Like
right.
Make it about the Pratts or make it about Brody being a piece of shit. I don't care. Make it about Audrina being a single mom looking for love. And you can have all these people come on in different phases or whatever. But yeah, at this point, I don't give a shit if it comes back or not. I would truly be surprised if it gets picked up. I was honestly shocked that it came back anyway because I guess they just needed stuff to film that was easy that they could do and you could film in LA during COVID. So there you go. But if it comes back, I would honestly be surprised. I don't know what the ratings are like, but having one tweet from Seth Rogen and adding that into a promo, I don't think I don't know if that generates buzz or makes it a good show or anything.
It's I mean, I think that's about all we have to say about the Hills. Do you have any parting thoughts before we dive into the Bachelorette and Bachelor Nation?
Let's just get into this snooze fest that was Katie's season. When will our deep sleep be over, Emily? I mean, thank God for Paradise because that was a real treat. That was so fun. Have you had fun in the last fucking whatever since Matt?
No.
Like it's been dreadful.
I forgot that's how long Paradise hasn't been on.
Right?
I forgot how much fun it was. I was dreading it almost. I was like,
when David Spade was like, it's been 2 years since you guys have been back on the beach. I'm like, fuck, no wonder it felt so long.
Yes, I know. And honestly, what a fun treat. Like what a fun 2 hours where I just enjoyed it. Everyone was like fun and flirty and there's like weird hookups already happening. And
tell you the last time I didn't check my watch every 15 minutes.
Agreed. This was so much fun. I am so looking forward to watching the next episode.
Oh, it's already unhinged.
Oh
it's
my already, God.
We've got somebody who has already hooked up with another person's uncle. And also, did you see the uncle? The uncle's actually very hot and he's like a lawyer or something. It's like, what the?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Good for you, Tajwan. Like, really, all about it. Just having, it's just nice to have, this is what paradise always brings us. Really.
Almost paradise.
You said it best. The only reason in some ways that we still watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is that we just, so we can know who is going to be on paradise. So I've got a backstory.
Okay. But Emily, who is that blonde woman who's not Champagne Girl and not Demi? There was like a blonde girl who showed up, who didn't get a title card, who didn't get a meet and greet.
I know. I saw her in the background, but didn't see her anywhere else.
Who the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Okay, so sometimes even watching The Bachelor and Bachelorette fails us, because also I completely forgot about Marissa, M-U-R-I-S-S-A, from Peter's season. And even then I was like, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, we watched that season, what is it, a year and a half ago, almost at this point, like, I completely
Right, but to be fair, do you hang on to anything from The Bachelor? Like, it fully washes over me. And once I read Ali Barthwell's genius recaps on Vulture, it immediately just exits my brain until, like, I guess I look at either, like, our group chat or, like, a piece of gossip comes up, and then my brain slowly churns the Bachelor Nation gears together. But typically once the episode is over, I'm like, what was that? What did I just watch?
I mean, the fact that we're calling her Kelsey Champagne Girl, like, I just had to remember her name about two seconds ago.
I was like, I did not call her Kelsey. That's all you. No, please take the credit.
I just remembered. But yeah, Champagne Girl. But that's the thing is, like, we only remember people if they had like a standout moment like this. Because otherwise, like, what is there to remember? After this,
I had to keep calling Serena Canada, because I was like, what's her thing again? Oh, yeah, she's Canadian. Because she's not the teacher, that's Michelle.
Yeah, that's Michelle.
So I was like, Serena Canada.
And Serena,
don't know anything about you.
Other Serena's Canada there too. And I just remember she's a flight attendant. She's San Francisco flight
attendant. Oh, right. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I actually thought that she was like a cheerleader or something, but had her from up here, but thought she was like a Warriors cheerleader or something. But nope, flight attendant. Never mind.
I mean, the snooze fest that was the season of Katie.
My God. And also, like, sorry, I just want to start this off by saying they say sex positive so fucking much. I am currently still sex negative. Like, if they put me off of, I don't want to support you having sex anymore. I'm sorry.
I'm recording this wearing a nun habit. That's how sex negative I am about this. Like, it was so outrageous.
Shame you and just stop talking about all the sex that you're fucking having. Who cares? Shut up. Stop saying sex positive.
And you, as you all know on this show, we are both fairly liberal. Like, all the things that most bachelorettes are not or not have not been in the past.
We support all of these bachelorettes, fucking all these dudes and any of the fantasy.
We think it's a better show for it. We think it's a better show for it.
Why do you think we like Bachelor in Paradise? Everybody be fucking everybody on that show.
It's
so
great. It's realistic.
Them. We're just sex negative towards Katie. That's all. And sex negative towards the producers who encouraged everybody to say the words sex positive and now gaslighting. Oh my God, the amount of like overused words on her season to the point where
it's lost
all fucking meaning, dude. Holy shit.
And here's the other thing I didn't care for that past season was, okay, so I appreciated when she was on her season of on Matt James's season, I appreciated she had
Matchler.
She had a personality. I appreciated that. I even kind of liked her on that season. And then as soon as she got her own spinoff of The Bachelorette, she starts leaning in to hamming up to the camera. It is so clear she is like creating scenes for like spliced up clips for television. Like after the final rose where she confronts what's his face. I'm totally blanking on his name. The one that's accused. Yeah. The one who's accused. Butt cut. She like is clearly hamming up to the cameras. And I'm just like,
well, I mean, much like Mike White, she reads all the criticism and takes it personally. And like, I think that, I mean, you want to talk about fucking leaning in. You're totally right. She leaned all the way in. She fell into a fucking K-hole of being this bachelorette. Like, I think that that's what Buttcut was trying to get to in all of this, is that she was like, she made up all of these rules and like what it meant to be the bachelorette. And she couldn't let her guard down because she was so busy being the bachelorette, she thinks that means in real life. We don't know. But yeah, it was difficult to get to know the real Katie sometimes because she was very caught up and was very aware that she was on camera and was very aware that this was going to be broadcast. And you can still do that. Like, Rachel Lindsay was very aware of like what it looked like and the implications and all of that, but she was still natural and able to form real connections and kind of like drop the act, so to speak, when it was necessary, when Katie totally. Was unable to do that.
And it almost felt like Katie, though she, you know, definitely went from contestant to bachelorette, in some ways she couldn't flip the switch over. Like, she still yeah. very much had the eagerness of a contestant on The Bachelor. But I guess I wish her and Blakey Moynes, you know, all the happiness
that
in the
Blakey
world.
Blakey Moynes, though, I mean, honestly, I do feel like that's her best match.
Yeah.
They make a lot of sense together.
Totally.
And they also seem very... like, able to be produced by Bachelor Nation. You know what I mean? Like, they like people who go along to get along in some ways. So
sure.
I think the two of them make a bit of sense. I feel bad for Justin. I think out of everybody, he's the one who kind of got it the shittiest.
Oh, for sure.
And there was just so many, like, manufactured rom-com moments. But again, just like The Hills, they establish these stakes of like, oh, her and Buttcut are always getting caught in the rain. And like, she's chasing these men through like corridors and fire escape stairs and all this other shit, jumping into people's arms. And these men are honestly, they're rejecting her, which is like I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with her. I'm just saying that like they create, like you were saying, these forced moments that end lacklusterly because, you know, like Andrew's like, nah, I'm good. Or like Buttcut's like, I'm not fucking doing this anymore.
Right.
Or guy with a kid, dead wife guy, just like, my kid makes me sad, I gotta go. And like, she's always chasing these men in the rain and all this shit. And like, it just doesn't lead to anything. And so of course it feels like a big womp womp with Blakey Moynes because she didn't have any of these moments. It just sort of like worked. But yeah. they didn't do a very good job sort of depicting like that he was maybe like the stable thing that like pushed her through. Instead, it sort of had this consolation-y vibe to it. But look, yeah. people felt the same way about Rachel Lindsay and that, what's his face, Abs, right. Dr. Abs.
Yeah.
And look, they're still together. They actually got married. I mean, she got out of Bachelor Nation. So like, and she's doing pretty well. I'm not saying that Katie has anywhere close to the amount of like charisma and like likability as natural likability as Rachel does. But, you know, I'm just saying, There's something to it, but I do believe that they had a genuine connection despite maybe what the show was trying to tell us.
I agree. And actually reading, because during this, you know, a couple of months ago, that New York Magazine story came out where Rachel said, you know, everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really interesting to hear the behind the scenes where it was like they really pushed Peter on her that we, you know, sexy Peter, not Pilot Pete, but sexy.
No, Peter. Yeah, Peter's still extremely attractive.
So attractive. But it sounds like, you know, he was pushed on her by the producers, and that ultimately behind the scenes, her connection with Brian was much better than it appeared to be on the show. And they gave him very much like this, like stereotypical Latin playboy angle, because that's what producers do. But ultimately, like you said, they're still together to this day. They're married and super happy. And it sounds like, yeah, everything worked out the way it should. I hope that Katie and Blakey Moynes, you know, things work out, and that behind the scenes, the relationship had a lot more going for it than it looked like on screen. Yeah, ultimately, I wish nothing but the best for them. I am really excited about Michelle's season. I really hope that they don't pick a bunch of duds for her and that she really gets some good guys.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic. I hope they don't whitewash her for their audience to the point where like she turns into like another Bachelor, which I doubt it, because she has a lot of personality and she's very fun and bubbly and very like easygoing. So I hope they don't kind of give her like the Katie treatment where they just sort of like get in her head so much she just sort of becomes like a caricature of the Bachelorette. But I'm cautiously optimistic, and word on the street is Buttcut's supposed to be the next Bachelor, so make of that what you will. But similar, I mean, I kind of feel like Buttcut has a very similar journey to Hot Peter from Lindsay's season.
Yeah.
Original Lindsay's season, because, you know, I feel like they pushed Buttcut on All of Us.
Yep.
And they did that with Peter, Yeah, they did that with Peter. That's his name. Because I'm traumatized by fucking Pilot Pete and his insane mom. But Hot Peter. Yeah. Hot Peter, not fucking dunce cap Peter.
Yeah.
I mean, how that guy is a fucking pilot is insane. If he's ever flying a plane that I'm on, like, that is Final Destination. I will get off. I will leave. I do not want that moron doing anything. Anyway, Hot Peter felt like he was pushed onto Rachel so that not because they thought that he was like a good match for her or anything, but because they wanted to turn him into the next Bachelor. And they didn't anticipate that. They never anticipate that people will have free will or that they could turn down fame and money and all this shit. But I think they did the same thing with Buttcut, and it's actually happening with Buttcut because he's an actor. So, or whatever. I mean, I don't know. We obviously established at the after the rose ceremony that he's no Meryl Streep.
No, no.
Which everybody
he's not
like,
even a Catherine McPhee.
They both thought that was such a fun burn. I was like, you guys just workshop it. Just like tell one person the joke, you know, before you go out there. Save yourself. It's like, I don't know. She's like, you're the Ana de Armas of acting. And then really make them think about it.
Do we have any other thoughts about this upcoming Bachelor in Paradise season, or I guess the rest of it?
I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Grocery Store Joe and the oldest man on earth. Naked guy. What the fuck?
Boy band manager.
Kenny. Yeah. I feel like, again, every time I said that, Zoe yelled at me. She's like, you're big, generous. It's not a boy band. They're like a cover band. And also, I mean, that man clearly had like a sock on or something, because like, where am I supposed to be led to believe that his mic pack was going like in his ass? Like, are we serious right now? That's wild. That's not true. But I mean, the amount that man was fully fucking naked the entire day, and the amount of like man spreading he did across all of those like cabanas, like bare ass. Like, I felt like Charlotte in that episode of Sex and the City was like, put a towel down. Like, what is wrong with you?
What is wrong
your
with you?
Sweaty balls dragging them all over.
I don't want to feel like I'm going to get a staph infection after a year and a half of COVID. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, after a year and a half of being locked up, the last thing I would want to see as somebody on Bachelor, or maybe no, maybe the first thing I do want to see is some random dude's dick. Well, actually, Kenny is quite attractive. I feel like, when he's like, oh, my favorite pastime is coffee and chilling. I was like, ooh. I'm going to need so much tequila for that to be like able for me to push forward in a conversation with you. Because as soon as he said that, I was like, I'd be like, I'm out. I got to go.
Oh, my God.
But Mari seems to be just fine to like look past it. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens with some of these couples. I don't need to see Cat Guy make out ever again. It's disgusting. It's worse than it's. I would rather have the Matchler kiss me with his eyes wide fucking open than to ever have that man like sort of strangle, caress me. Like, ew. Like, he's like that. Oh, and if he sings another fucking song in that goddamn ukulele, I'm gonna smash that shit over his fucking head. Oh, he's so corny. I hate him. I was so happy when she voted him out. Well, voted him out. But you know what I mean? When he got eliminated. And to be slapped in the face with this fucking dickhead. Ugh. But I also, sorry, I do not see it for Abigail and Stash. I like don't get it. That's like a weird mess. And then her whole thing about being like, I friend zone guys easily. I'm like, why the fuck are you here then?
Get out. This is paradise. We don't need that energy.
I also loved David Spade absolutely not knowing what he's doing. And I don't understand. And I can't believe I'm about to fucking take up for Wells, but Wells should be the host, and then they should just
the
get celebrity commentators to come in, like David Spade or Little have them bartend.
They should be the guest partner. Like, or have them like watch What Happens Live.
Yes, or even like a fucking camp counselor in training. You just shadow another person and just like provide your little commentary. So
give
I agree. Bartend, just give it to him. David Spade made him fucking do all the hard work anyway.
You know who I was really hoping would appear, and maybe he will. I don't know. Remember the one? Okay, so we were just talking about Abigail, the guy that she's dating or went on a date with. What's his face?
Noah?
I'm blanking on his name. Noah. You remember the guy on that season of The Bachelorette that he kept? Tayshia's season of The Bachelorette.
Oh, the guy that couldn't spell limousine. What the fuck was that guy's name?
Preppy. Oh my god! He went to Harvard.
Yeah,
that was his name personality.
Was like, oh my god, wasn't it Bennett?
Bennett. I'm hoping he shows up. I feel like I need him to be there for some conflict. Like, just a little bit.
I was actually wondering where he was, because I feel like that man would fully show up if there was ever a camera crew.
Oh, 100%. My sister was the one who remarked, and I was like, you know what? You are right. I would like him to show up. I don't know what's going on there, but I'd like to see Bennett, because I would just
look
a little bit of Bennett Noah.
It's early. It's early in the game, so we'll see. Well,
we'll see.
Before we go, I do want to recommend, if you like Bachelor in Paradise, I must recommend Fuckboy Island, which is convoluted in its rules. So don't worry about them till the end. And also don't worry about them in general, because Nikki Glaser does a great job as host and she constantly reiterates the rules because I think she understands that they are very convoluted. But it's 12 nice guys and 12 fuckboys go to an island where three ladies, you know, have to pick whoever they want to get involved. It's so much fun. It's very silly. And it gives you everything you want. Like, you're in a beautiful tropical location. Like, fuckboys get dressed down. Like, people get into real secrets are revealed. Like, it was a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. It's on HBO Max. If you like Bachelor in Paradise, this is sort of like HBO's version of that. And amazing. Also, this season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is, I mean, worthy of the Criterion Collection. It is riveting. It is fascinating. Thank you, Erica Jayne, for being a con artist. And thank you, Kathy Hilton, for being a insanely rich, out of touch white lady, essentially being Jennifer Coolidge from White Lotus, but in real life. Thank you so much. And thank you, Crystal, for your contributions, for holding people accountable. Thank you, Sutton, for being a sleuth and being also a really wealthy lady who has been divorced and says things like forensic accountant in casual conversation. And most of all, thank you to Garcelle, who is not only beautiful and just so funny, but also is coming for all these hoes, and you cannot help but laugh. So Beverly Hills, insane. Potomac is always 5 stars. Also would recommend this season. It's really just getting started, but things are happening, and I'm so sorry to New York to just avoid it. If you haven't been watching, don't start. It's not, it's sad. Just go. Just go. Just leave us here.
Well, thank you very much for all those recommendations.
Oh, and Emily, Salt Lake City is coming back.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
We'll have to do another little check-in with that too.
Of course. Cannot wait. Well, everyone, we want to thank you for joining us today. As you may have seen, if you follow us on Instagram, we are going to have our season 6 premiere air on September 16th, which is not that far away. I'm very excited. We have a lot in store for this upcoming season, so we cannot wait for you all to hear what we are going to be bringing to you all. But to stay in touch with us and to get these new episodes, you should find us on wherever you like to listen to podcasts. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever that may be. While you're on that page looking to listen to our podcast episodes, why don't you subscribe so that you can get the latest and greatest when it comes out? Additionally, you can find us on social media. We are at the Old Millennials Pod on both Instagram and Facebook. We have been posting all sorts of fun posts leading up to our season 6 premiere. So if you want to see more of my hack Photoshop jobs, head on over there. Additionally, you can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Emily A. Beijin.
And I'm at Marg, she wrote.
And until next time, we say bye-bye.
Bye.